time to get our view from the middle. He's in our midst in the great Northwest. You can find his work for USA Today at the newsstand, online, usatoday.com, on Twitter at George Schroeder. George, welcome back to your old stomping ground. How are you and the family enjoying our equator-like heat?
Man, I'm going to do some product placement. I just had some Stumptown coffee cold brew, and I am excited. It's great to be back.
That's good. I like the way. Are you getting a cut there, or was just that out of the goodness of your heart?
I'm hoping to at some point. People will be reaching out hopefully soon.
All right. I think there's a tendency to joke about preseason polls, but 1-2 last year, Alabama and Clemson, Bama 3 the year before. I mean, the first year of the playoffs, the four teams that got in, including Oregon, were 1, 2, 3, and 5. So I know nothing's etched in stone, but man, for the most part, it seems recently, you might actually be worth paying attention to the early polls.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, okay, so none of this matters. What matters is what the College Football Playoff Selection Committee thinks. And frankly, supposedly what they do come, you know, the second or the last third of the season when they actually start releasing their rankings isn't supposed to matter until they release their final rankings. That's fine and good. But we all cover college football. We all follow college football, I guess would be the better way to put it. And all we want to know is what do people who are, in this case, the coaches, what do they think about these teams? And what do they think about who's going to be good? Now, I'm not convinced that the coaches always pay a ton of attention, even though they are the ones who know what's going on. As evidenced by Clemson getting 7 first-place votes and ranking 5th. Now, I think Dabo Swinney's built a tremendous program, and they are really talented. And their defensive front may be the best in the country, probably is. But I don't know if you remember, they're replacing some really important people, including maybe the most dynamic player in college football last year, in Deshaun Watson. So while I'd like to say the coaches have done a great job here and they just sort of overrated Clemson, I look at the fact that they got 7 first-place votes, which is 2nd only to Alabama, and I think to myself, the only way you could give them a first-place vote is if you're just saying, like, really old school, like, you're the defending national champion until you lose. You're going to be number one in my book. I mean, I don't understand how anybody could realistically make them number one. I can see why you might say they're number 5. But number 1, I don't see that. So I'm excited about the rankings. I've kind of rambled on a little bit here. It's just I'm excited about them, not because they're the coaches' poll, not because it's USA Today's sponsorship, but just because it's one more tangible piece of evidence that we're almost there.
Yeah, I thought somebody brought up an interesting point. They're like, Clemson didn't only lose Deshaun Watson. You know, that's like the best player in the history of their program.
That's right. He is clearly the – now, listen, they lost Mike Williams, the big-time receiver. They lost Wayne Gallman, who was underrated his impact as a running back.
Sure.
You know, I mean, they lost some serious important people, but they lost the best player in the history of the program, as you said, in Deshaun Watson. And we all saw what he and they did in the fourth quarter against Alabama. So we're in a world where, Alabama aside, dynamic quarterback play has never been more important to elite success. And I know I've said that to you many times. So you're replacing the best quarterback you ever had, the best player you ever had, and you're going to, the idea that you're not going to take a half step back, where does that come from?
I don't know. A belief in that they're going to have the best defensive line and maybe the best defense ever. But it doesn't seem realistic. But we shall see. Yesterday morning, we learned about the passing of former Notre Dame coach Ara Parseghian, who last coached since 1974. So to a younger generation, the name might ring a bell. And in a lot of ways, he kind of revived that storied program. And I'm sure at best your memories are vague, but you're a student of the game, you know history. So kind of what came to your mind when you heard he'd passed away at age 94?
Well, you know, I guess it's sad, but I mean, he obviously lived a long, full life. I mean, 94 is a lot, you know?
Yeah.
So, it's great that he lived a long, full life. I think I just sort of reflect back to the fact that it's an amazing how many years it's been since he actually did coach, but he was one of the true legends of the game. I mean, his accomplishments are up there with only a few guys. And look, we all get tired of hearing about Notre Dame this and Notre Dame that, but there was a time when Notre Dame was this and that, and Arrow was one of those guys that had them there. You don't have to go all the way back to the 40s and 50s to get there. He was one of those guys. And just, I mean, his impact on the game, he has a big coaching tree. You know, there's just a lot of reasons why kind of when he goes, you realize there aren't many of those guys left. You know, another guy who's of the same vintage, at similar age, I think he's 93, is Arkansas's Frank Broyles.
Right.
Who, you know, Arkansas's not Notre Dame, never was, never will be, but they had, you know, very good success in the 60s and 70s under Frank Broyles. And, you know, and he's in similar, apparently in similarly bad health, which I think probably doesn't surprise you at that age. But you just realize all of these guys are, they're passing. It's that time is coming and going soon.
Yeah, when I first started following college football, it was he, Bear, Bo, Woody, and the fact that I don't have to give last names kind of proves the point about what giants they were. We talk with George Schroeder. I saw a fun panel discussion, almost like word association. I think it was on the Big Ten Network. So we'll play a little game. I'll throw out the football program, and then whatever comes into your mind, players, coaches, team, moment, you get where we're going here? It's almost like a radio Rorschach test.
So, word association.
Gotcha. So if I say Michigan Wolverines football, what say you?
So I can only give you one word?
No. Kind of, okay. If somebody told,
yeah.
As long as
you. I got you.
Go ahead.
If I can do like a sentence or something, we're good.
Yeah. Multiple sentences are required too.
Jim Harbaugh handing a helmet and shoes to the Pope.
Since you're on the West Coast, let's hit on the blue blood of the region. It's almost like getting called on to do an oral report with no preparation. So if I said to you, USC Trojans, from what you've known, what you've observed, what kind of thoughts come into your head?
Not buying in this year, and the standard at USC is the Pete Carroll era, and I don't see that coming back.
You know, it's funny, when they were talking about it, they went from tailback you, student body right, and one of the guys, when you watch their games, that stinking fight song just echoes in your head for days after. So
yeah, no, that's right, especially if they score a bunch. But, you know, no, I hear you. And, you know, the thing that's been interesting about the whole Oregon rise, and obviously there's been a decline here, precipitous decline, but the thing that was cool about the whole Oregon rise was how they, you know, they basically took it to USC, and they took it to USC under Chip Kelly before USC really went into, before there were excuses like sanctions and things like that. That was one of the more cool things about my time there in Eugene, was to watch Oregon become the undisputed Pac-12, you know, kingpin at the time, ahead of a USC program that is sort of, you know, the Hollywood of the everything.
Yeah, that 2009 game, Halloween night, is kind of a one of those momentous moments. Talk with George Schroeder, USA Today. They now set the standard, kind of like you said, what USC did from 2002 through 2008. It's just a matter of when the season started, you had to be cognizant of them, kind of like golfers during the Nicklaus or Tiger Woods era. You needed to know where they were. So if I say Crimson Tide, Alabama, what say you?
Best college football dynasty in the history of the game.
Wow, that's a strong one. But
I think that's where they are at this point. I mean, you know, I guess we could argue for some dynasty, you know, Army or Notre Dame or somebody way back in the day, but so much of that, Steve, was cosmetic and who you knew and who you didn't know, and you know, I mean, and it was all poll driven, and you know, there might have been a great football team out west or in the Midwest that nobody knew about. You know, because they weren't getting the press and they weren't playing each other, and then they were just playing a bowl game at the end of the year. Well, now it's the game. The sport is, you know, watched all over the country much more closely than it ever was. It's not a cosmetic champion. It's a two-game playoff. Now, you know, obviously, and some committee has at least elected you to be in the playoff, And so it's not just polls based on what your helmet looks like.
No.
And also, by the way, it's an 85 scholarship limit, which has really distributed parity throughout the game compared to what it was when four or five or eight big-time programs had most of the talent because they'd have, you know, 150 guys out and on scholarship. It's a different game.
No, I've often said that when you dominate in a cutthroat era like this, when the playing field is level, it really needs to be acknowledged. Though cosmetically, you do have to admit Nick Saban does have great hair.
Well, he does. I mean, you know, it's amazing how there's no gray hair going on there at age 65, but whatever.
He's given gray hairs.
No, listen, it's not like Mike Krzyzewski, whose hair somehow is still jet black at age 70. I don't know how that happens genetically. I'm not sure it does happen genetically.
I think he's got a deal beyond Nike, maybe with Grecian formula.
I think there's something like that going on.
We're talking college football word association. George Schroeder, USA Today. Hey, what the heck? You're in the state, and I think 25 years ago, most neutral fans and media might have said, are they the Ducks or the Beavers? So let's play word association, University of Oregon football.
Currently does not own the Platters Trophy. I'm sorry. You said Ducks and Beavers 25 years ago and all that. I think, you know, what I would say is I'm just sort of sitting here kind of going, what is going to happen under Willie Taggart? I have no clue, and I don't think anybody else does. Obviously, people are hopeful, but I don't think anybody really knows what's going to happen. And, you know, the other thing I would say is the expectations have been turned up so high, and I don't necessarily mean for this year, but overall, for the program, after the success of the last decade, not quite a decade, I guess, yeah, about a decade, that to me, the standard is really, really high for success at Oregon, which makes it really tough for Willie Taggart.
Couple of final thoughts for George Schroeder. One last team that was barely visible before they came out of nowhere in 1983, then kind of became a standard setter for excellence on the football field, an attitude never before seen. Now in a bit of a high-level success drought. They even had a 30-30 for them. So if I say the U, Miami, what say you?
I think Mark Richt's got them going pretty good. Now, here's the thing. I don't know what they're going to be at quarterback this year, which is a huge deal, as we discussed earlier, talking about Clemson. But they've got a ton of talent on hand, and I think the Mark Richt experiment is a fascinating sociological experiment at a place like Miami, because they've always sort of succeeded by being, at least what we saw, was sort of out there on the edge, almost a renegade program, and
yep.
That is clearly, that's really not his deal. He's as straight-laced as they come. So I think it's still a fascinating experiment, but the early returns are pretty good.
And lastly, the Pro Football Hall of Fame inductions this weekend. Interesting group of players, some first ballot guys in LaDainian Tomlinson, Jason Taylor, then also Kurt Warner, Terrell Davis, and Cowboy owner Jerry Jones. We've had some interesting conversations about him this week. You know, with an owner, you can't just cite stats. Titles, maybe. Fame, for sure. What do you make of his being inducted into Canton, the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
Well, first of all, there aren't very many people who can say this, but in his entire NFL career, he never threw an interception.
Yeah.
I think that's fascinating. But, no, listen, here's the deal with Jerry Jones. He's a polarizing figure. I don't think he's as polarizing as he was when he first came into the league. And obviously the Cowboys get an outsized bit of attention. It's a lot like Notre Dame in some ways that we were talking about earlier. But I'll say this. I think you have to look a little bit beyond sort of the product that's even on the field, because obviously they're in a long drought in terms of, you know, it's been, you know, 20 plus years since they won those three Super Bowls. But what he did in terms of marketing the Cowboys it changed the way NFL ownership and the NFL ran things. And I think there's something to be said for that. He brought a businessman's, why can't we do this? And I can market my team, and I can make a ton of money doing this, that, or the other that some of the other guys weren't doing, and they've since copied it, and it's now become sort of the way you do business. So I think there's some Is that a good reason to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame? I don't know, but I do think he changed the way the game was played off the field in terms of the business in the business office.
No, absolutely. Revenue from other sources, that stadium, and you certainly can't think of the NFL without him. So even though I'm not a Cowboy fan or a Jerry Jones fan, you know, listening to others, I was like, okay, I think it's legit. Well, George, you are in the state. I know you're here for pleasure. I hope you have a fun, safe time. You can keep up with GeorgeUSAToday.com on Twitter at George Schroeder. And we hope to catch up next week.
Yeah, I look forward to it. I'm excited about being back in the state, bringing the family back to see people.
So, all right. I hope all the Schroeders have a wonderful time.
We are planning on it. So it's great to be back with the Evergreens and the caffeine.
All right. Have a good one, George.
You too.